If you have your Bible, open with me to the book of Colossians. We're going to leave Matthew for this Sunday and go to Colossians, the third chapter, and going to begin in the 15th verse there. If you find Philippians, you're getting close. Colossians, third chapter, beginning in the 15th verse. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, I ask that you would take your word and that you would minister to our hearts, that you would draw us to Jesus. And we thank you, Father. We thank you that you love us. Father, move in our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you have thought about this or heard about a child coming to a parent, maybe a little girl coming to her mom, and a little girl comes to her mom and asks a very important question. Every parent kind of dreads this question. It's going to come. You know it's going to come. You kind of think through the process. What am I going to say when they ask? Mom, where do people come from? Some parents just kind of stutter through it. Some parents send their children to the other parent, and that's how they deal with that. I heard about a mom that got asked the question, and she had kind of thought through the process. And when she was asked the question, she said, "Oh, I'm so glad you asked. You know, God loves you so much. God made the world for you. He made the world for us. And then when the world was made, he created a man and a woman. He called the man Adam, and he called the woman Eve. And he made them so that when they came together, they could have children. And then those children grew up, they had children, and as children had children, it came down through time. And that's how your mom got here, and that's how you got here." And the little girl seemed satisfied with that. She went off for a while. She began to think, okay, we came from God. That's okay. That's good. Maybe I better check this out. So she did what children are apt to do. She went to her dad. "Dad, how do people get here?" He wasn't quite as thoughtful as her mother had been, but he had an answer for her. He said, "Well, long, long ago, there was a pool of slime. And it was ooey, gooey stuff. And little things floated around in the slime. And there came a time when some of the things bumped into each other and it changed them and became a worm. And the worm eventually crawled out of the ooey slime, got on the land, and it was doing okay. It crawled along until it bumped into a tree, and it changed it. And it went up in the tree, and over time it changed, and it became a monkey. And the monkey loved the trees, and the monkey loved to swing. And so the monkey would swing through the trees, and the boy monkeys and the girl monkeys would swing through the trees, and they made a mistake, and they hit the tree,
And it changed them. And over a period of time, it changed them into a man and a woman.
That's where we came from. Now the little girl's confused. I know what my mom told me. I know what my dad told me. I'm going to go back to mom. Mom, how come you told me that we came from God? Dad told me we came from monkeys in the trees. Without skipping a beat, the mom said, oh, that's easy. I was telling you about my side of the family. Who knows where your dad's family came from? On this Mother's Day, it is important for moms and dads to be on the same side. And that same side needs to be dedicated to building the absolutely best home possible, a great home for your family, a great home not only for you, but for your children. Colossians is a book that tells us a lot about meeting needs. Now, everybody needs Jesus, and in the chapter one of Colossians, it tells us that we need Jesus, we need to hold to Jesus, we need to come to Jesus. My friend, the truth is you can't love if you don't know Jesus. And so you need Jesus today, and I hope that if you don't know him, you will come to know him. That's why we are here, to introduce you to Jesus. Now, as you move through the book of Colossians, you find that Jesus is able to meet needs. Everybody has them. You got needs, those sitting around you have needs. Some of you look like you have more needs than others. Everybody's looking around to see who that is. Well, God is the one who can meet your greatest needs, and he does that through Jesus Christ. Now, when we get to the second chapter, and in the second chapter we find that there are people that try to take away from Jesus and try to belittle Jesus, and those people that try to belittle Jesus as being less than Almighty God, they're trying to destroy you. They're trying to destroy all that is good in the world. And what we see in the world today is a world that has taken its eyes off of Jesus and has tried to lessen who Jesus is. And that is a major reason we are in the mess that we are in. You get into the third chapter. And in the third and fourth chapter, God's telling believers, those of us who know Jesus, that we're supposed to live like we know Jesus. And Jesus wants to have a part of every area of your life. You know, we get segmented, don't we? We got our church us, we got our work us, we got our play us. I got news for you. God just has us. And if you are God's, God wants to be involved in all of what you are and what you do. I don't know about how you grew up, but when I grew up, my parents cared about everything I did. I mean, they wanted to know it all. If I went to school, they want to know, how was your day? I think every parent reads that in page 203 of the parent manual. Ask your kids, how was your day? They all say, oh, okay, what happened? Stuff. You know, how do you answer those questions? But parents ask them because they want to know what you've been doing. I'll tell you another thing about parents. They have a way of finding out. They just do. And I know you think you do stuff secretly, but most of us who have tried to do stuff secretly have found out that parents know a whole lot more than we think they know. They just have a way of discovery. Well, God wants you to know that he wants to be a part of every area of your life, including your family life. And God wants us to build great homes, and great homes are homes that serve Jesus Christ. I've known some people who seem to be great. I mean, they seem to be wonderful believers, and they were fantastic in the church.
And then at some point I find out that they weren't so fantastic in the home. Let me tell you, friend, if your Christianity does not work behind the doors of your house, your Christianity does not work. You can't leave Jesus at the door. He doesn't work that way. And so we are to give all of our lives to Him, and we are to live all of our lives for Him. God established the home. It was God's decision to make a male and female, and that's how He established the home, by the way, with a male and a female. And I'm not trying to put anybody down, I'm just stating what the facts are. And so God's desire is to have a father and mother, and from them a family. And if Jesus is not Lord of your life in that family, your family is going to be less than what God desires. You need Jesus. Your family needs Jesus. Your children and your grandparents need Jesus in order to have a great home. Now, God gives us what we need. He gives us resources, and so we see family resources in this scripture. Resources to live by. The first is the peace of God. Verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful." The peace of God has to do with the prevailing atmosphere of your life. Do you walk as someone who is at constant peace, or do you walk as someone who is constantly frantic? Well, you know, let's be honest. At some points we walk in both those ways, I guess, if we're Christians. If you're not a Christian, you never have the true peace that God has to give, so you can't have that. But when you walk outside of God's will, you walk into frantic land, and you walk into a world of turmoil, and you walk into a world of difficulty, and you bring that home, your home does not have peace. God wants you to be at peace in your heart, at peace with your life, at peace with your future. Jesus gives that. He really does. You just have to yield your heart to Him and your life to Him. The scripture says, let peace rule. Let the peace of God rule. Let it happen. Well, you know what that tells us? That means it's your choice. If there is no peace in your home, that is because somebody in the home has decided there's not going to be peace here. You have to choose. I'm going to operate with God leading my life, or I'm going to operate without God leading my life. One way leads to peace, one way leads to destruction. The peace of God is like a referee. The peace of God kind of keeps you in line on how you're supposed to live, on what you're supposed to say, how you're supposed to relate to others, and the attitude of your life. Peace is God's referee telling you, don't say that. Don't do that. Don't think that. The spirit of your home should be one of God being in charge. Now that's true for anyone, whether you're single or not, whether you have a family or not. God should be in charge of your home. God's peace should guide the overall spirit of your home. A yelling home is seldom at peace. And you've heard me say before, when the volume goes up, the brain goes out. That happens in homes too. And when you start talking without thinking, you're going to say something you shouldn't. You're going to hurt somebody. And that damage is stored away. It's not often put away. It's stored away. And it will come back up. Be cautious of how you live in your home.
I'm sure on this Mother's Day, you know the saying, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. Yeah, you know that. You've lived that. You understand that very well. Yeah, that's true on many levels, but it really says if mama is not surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and is living in peace, it's doubtful the rest of the home is either. Now, let me get mama off the hook. If daddy is not living under the Spirit of the Lord and allowing God's peace to guide him, it is doubtful that the home will be at peace. And if you want to spread the blame, if the kids are not living in the peace of the Lord Jesus and walking, trusting him, it's not apt that the home will be at peace. You see, if you are a Christian and you're in the house, you are responsible for the peace you have and the peace you share. 85% of children today have their personalities developed before they are 6 years of age. And so what's the atmosphere before a child is 6 years of age? If it's fear, the child will grow up very fearful. If it's anger, the child will lash out. If it's bitterness, the child will not trust anyone. But if the parents give love, the child will more than likely act in love. If the parents give joy, you'll find a child that's looking at life joyfully, more of a smile than a frown. If the parents show faith in God, that child is going to grow up believing and having faith in God in most cases. A Gallup poll showed that 89% of teens believe the most important thing in life is a good home. Well, the teens know it. We should know it too. Decide you're going to have a home where God's peace rules. And in order for God's peace to rule, you've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus makes peace available to you. Let his peace rule. Ask yourself if what you're going to say will help God's peace or will take away from it. Ask yourself, is the thought you're having, you know, when you're brooding over stuff, ask yourself if that thought will add to God's peace or take away from it. Accept Jesus and accept God's peace and allow his peace to prevail before you talk. Now, another resource is the word of Christ in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. The word of Christ is the Bible. I don't care where you get the Bible. You may have it on your phone. You may have it on your tablet. You may have it on your computer. I like these. You know, it's just a good thing to have. And you know, get God's word, but get God's word into you. Allow the word of Christ to dwell in your heart. Spend some time in it. We had our kids when they were young do the ABCs in Scripture. Many of you have done the same things. It's a good thing to start them off that way. Joshua 24:15, A. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. B, Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. What a great verse for children to learn. C, all parents push C. We talk about C a lot. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Ephesians 6:1. Read the Bible to your children. Pray with your children. Listen, you don't have to read the whole book to them, not in one sitting. Read a couple of verses. Read a verse. And just make a pattern of getting God's word into them. Make sure Sunday school is part of your life and theirs.
Listen, you never learn enough of God's Word. And being in a place where you can share with others and seeing how God's Word has blessed their lives and helped them in situations, or be the one that has been through the problem that can help them by what God has done in your life. That's Sunday school. And there is a place for every age group in Sunday school. And listen, we get along across ages. You know, you don't actually have to go into a class that is your chronological age. You may go into a class that you think is your chronological age. We'll be okay with that. You just need to be in Bible study. It's important. Getting God's Word into your life. You need to be in worship. Hey, you're here today. Praise God, you're here. I'm so glad you're here. I know some of you have traveled to be here. How about next Sunday? And some of you are going to tell me, well, I came a long way to be here for Mother's Day. I don't mind. You know, you can travel that far next Sunday or find a place that teaches God's Word close to you. But there is a place, and you need to be in God's house somewhere. If you're in this town, I got a place for you. But you need to be in God's house somewhere getting God's Word. And if you go to a place and they're not teaching God's Word, get out of that place. Most parents will admit that they need wisdom. If you don't think you need wisdom when you have a 5-year-old, wait till you have a 13-year-old. You need wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Verse 16 also encourages you to use music, Christian music, in your home with God's word in it. And I encourage you, you know, have some Christian music around. You know, children will gravitate to music. Why not Christian music? You know, people say, well, it's kind of funny. Church people think non-church people don't like church music. Non-church people don't know what church music is. You know, introduce them to God's house. You might find that they like it. You know, and you know, all music should lift up Jesus. Oh, and just put that into them. It should encourage them. It should encourage them to have a smile on their face. Every Sunday morning, it is burned into my brain, the Wally Fowler Gospel Hour. I woke up to it every Sunday morning. You know, people talk about kids playing their music loud. My mama woke the house up with Wally Fowler Gospel Hour. Give the world a smile every day, helping someone on life's way from the past of sin as you wander into the Master's fold to stay. Help to cheer the lone and sad. Help to make the children glad. Let your life so be that all the world may see the light of serving Jesus with a smile. Every Sunday. And you know, it hasn't left me. And a smile is a good greeting to any and everybody. And it is an encouragement. And people will say, what are you smiling about? Jesus. That's the answer. And Jesus always gives us something to smile about. There's the name of Jesus. In verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. You know, the name Mother is very precious to me. I have had the benefit of having a great, great mother. My mother was a little lady, but she was a powerful lady, and she had a great smile. But greater than the name Mother is the name Jesus. It's wonderful how committed moms and dads work and do all they can to provide for their children, but you know, your life will go better if you work in the name of Jesus.
put everything through the name of Jesus. Homes will be built greater when a mother and father live in the name of Jesus. And when a mom and dad live in the name of Jesus, they're going to raise kids who can change the world. But they change the world for Jesus. And that makes an eternal difference, not a temporary difference. So to build a great home, use God's resources. And not only are there family resources here, there are family relationships. There are marriage relationships, marital relationships in verse 18 and 19. Wives, submit yourself unto your husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Notice the family is directed toward husbands and wives. And the words, in case you don't know, in the Greek, husband is a male word. Wives is a female word. You see, the pairing is between a male and a female. And the biology is children come from a male and a female. That's God's joining for a family. The home in America's in trouble. We're seeing homes fall apart. We're seeing homes not start. One-third of children live with a single parent. And let me be quick to say, praise God for our single parents, moms or dads, that by themselves are trying to raise children to the Lord. You know, we stand with them, we stand behind them, we support them, we praise God for them. You know, it is difficult to have a home with a mom and a dad. But when you have a single parent trying to be mom and dad, oh, how it's just an insurmountable thought. But if that's you, I got news for you. God will come alongside of you to make you work, to make your work double so that you can get it done. We have seen evidence of that time and time again. I said some families don't start because a lot of people are just living together. They're not getting married. And it's an amazing thing, and it's very current, it's very common in our day that people just live together and they don't marry. They have children and they don't marry. And it's amazing to me. I was talking to someone not too long ago. They had children. And they had been together for 8 years, and they had not married. And just asking, I said, you know, not trying, no judgment, just asking, have you thought of marriage? I don't want to make that commitment. Friend, if the he or she will not commit to marry you, there is a difficulty in the relationship. And you can't build a home God's way if you have that difficulty in your relationship. Now, there have been times when I have met couples in that kind of situation, and I've told them what I'll tell you. I would be glad to try to help you with that so that you can be married and establish your home under God. Yeah, and we can help you with that. And I've had people take me up on that. And I've had people take me up on that, and they're still married today and been married for several years. You know, God wants your home planted correctly. And so marriage is part of that. You know, I don't understand the thought that, you know, we can't commit to each other to get married. We'll just commit to each other to live together, to have children together, to, you know, go through life together. What's the deal? And we have people that think that way, and they want God to bless their home. Well, listen, God can't bless your home if you don't get your home under God's umbrella. And marriage is part of that. It's not the only part, but it is part. We need to live as God desires. Okay, the big verse, the big objectionable verse. Wives are to submit to your own husbands in the Lord. You know, we have a lot of people who rebel at that thought. And people who rebel at that thought do not read the verse correctly and they do not understand it correctly. Submission does not mean losing your personality, giving up your brain, or being anybody's doormat. It is bowing to God's desire for the home. And there is a condition in that verse. Submit yourself to the Lord, to your own husband as fitting to the Lord. That is, when your husband lives like God wants him to live, you submit to him. Now, if he's not living like God wants him to live, then that's not a point of submission. And most wives will be happy to submit to a husband in the Lord, a husband who is living as God wants them to live, who is conducting himself as God wants his life to be conducted, and who is loving you the way God wants you to be loved. That kind of man is not hard to submit to. And by the way, your submission will make him want to serve God more. Husbands, love your wives. It's always interested me that God put the primary emphasis on husbands loving. It is the husband who is responsible for love in the home. And so, men, we are to love and cover our family with love. I read of a couple that had been married for 60 years. You know, recently, this is Becky and mine, 50th year. We're not there yet, but this is the 50th year. And we took a little trip not too long ago, and we were on a train ride, and there was, you know, we're thinking we're something, 50th year, wow. Couple sitting in front of us, been married 65 years. Kind of took us down real quick. If you're going to live together and you're going to have a home that is happy, you're going to have to learn how to deal with issues. And God sets and establishes that the man is to be a leader, but any smart man is going to know when to listen to his wife. There are some areas where she knows more than you do. And she's thinking, yeah, all of them. So a smart guy will know when to say, let's do it this way, and when to say, what do you think? And by the way, sometimes it's smart just to say what you think anyway. I read about a couple who was married for 60 years, and they asked, well, how'd you do it? He said, when they married, they agreed to hit all issues in this way. He would take all major issues. She would take all minor issues. He would agree with her on all minor things. She would agree with him in all major things. Wow, that's a pretty good system. He said, yeah, it's amazing. In 60 years, we've never had a major thing. Divorce is marked by attitudes of criticism, contempt, and withdrawal. Marriages thrive on gentleness, compassion, forgiveness. Christian husbands and wives do not make things work because they are perfect. They make things work because they are willing to love one another, be committed to one another, and forgive one another. And by the way, that's not a forgiving that stores it up to unload it on somebody later. That means you act from that point as if the transgression never took place. And you do that because of love. That's the way Jesus treats us. Parental relationships, verse 20. Children, obey your parents. I thought you said that was the verse for seeing. It was in Ephesians. I did. God said it more than once. That means something. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto God. Listen, rebellion against your parents is rebellion against God. Don't do it. Boys and girls, obey your parents. Teens, you want to have a happy life, go along with whatever your parents want. I promise you, they will knock themselves out to make your life happy. Go with them in everything you can do to let them know that you love and respect them, and they will try, they will really try to give you the very best they can give you. It's a part of serving God and building a home correctly. Verse 21, Father, provoke not your children, lest they become discouraged. It says fathers because fathers are in charge of love in the home. Children need fathers to be active in their lives. You know, the bystanding father. And fortunately, that is one thing that our culture has tried to change, to have fathers active all the time in their children's lives. But you know, God tried to change that a long time ago. It's part of God's design. We need to be active with our children. We need to be active with our wives. We need to be active showing them that we care and love them in all things. Parents can only build a great home when they're committed to Jesus and committed to each other. Listen, divorce is hard on children. Parents who run out on their children often find themselves alone, full of regrets. One of the greatest things you can do for your children is love your mate. And the greatest thing you can do for your children is love Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Parents, don't let your children, please do not let your children come to your death and not know where you're spending eternity. They need to know without a doubt, my mom loved Jesus and she's going to heaven. She's already there. My dad loved Jesus. He is there smiling at the gates. Because they love Jesus in life, you know they love Jesus after they die, and God's taking care of them. And parent, a horrible thought. If you got that unthinkable call and you had to face the fact that your teenager died, would you know that you led that child to know Jesus? Would you know where they're going to spend eternity because you built it into their lives and hearts and they made that decision? Or would you just have to wonder? Now, I pray you never have to face that. But the reality is, we are given families. And those families can be great only when they're built by Jesus. And you got to put Jesus in charge of your life to ever put him in charge of your family. And so right now, would you put Jesus in charge of your life? If you've never met Jesus as your Savior, we ask you to do that right now. Just walk down and say, I want Jesus. If you've already received Jesus, but you want to become part of our church family, just come and say, I'd like to be part of this church. We can take care of that. If you're a believer and you need to rededicate your life, you can come to the altar and pray. God calls you to a decision. I pray that you will make it. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, I ask now that you would move within our hearts. Thank you, Father, for what you want to do in our lives. Father, I pray that there will be individuals come and say, I want Jesus. I pray, Father, that families will be set on the right course to lift up Jesus. And I pray, God, that you will do all that now. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. As we sing, would you come?